Will you pray with me? Come near God, bend low, enter this your house. Come so near to each of us as to oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. The Bible, our Bible, our sacred text, is a talking book. It begins in speech, efficacious speech, successful speech, words that make things happen. Let there be light, shouts God into the void, and lights appear. These aren't just any words. These are words with wings, words with legs. This is efficacious speech, words that make things happen. Christian, do your words make things happen? The Bible is a talking book. The Israelites brought their suffering to speech. In bondage to the Egyptians, oppressed and tormented, they cried aloud to God, and God in heaven heard their suffering. And God, speaking to Moses, tells Moses, "You go have yourself a chat with old Pharaoh." Moses strides over to the palace, stomps up the steps, bangs on the great doors, and right there to Pharaoh, Moses spoke the most confounding, confronting, demanding, morally charged words, "Let my people go." And no one had ever said those words to Pharaoh before. Those four words, "Let my people go," they hung there in that throne room. An indictment. Once said, they couldn't be unsaid. Once said, the system of oppressor and oppressed was exposed as rotten, as godless. Those four words spoken, "Let my people go," were the beginning of the end of Pharaoh's cruelty. The Bible is a talking book, a book of words. Words that make things happen. Christian, do your words make things happen? After "Let there be light" and "Let my people go," it is Jesus who is God's next best word. Jesus is what God has been trying to say from the beginning. Jesus is the Logos, the word on the tongue of God. The word that once spoken becomes flesh and lives among us. And Jesus was himself a talker, quite a talker. He talked to pretty much everyone and anybody. He was indiscriminate about whom he spoke. He talked to fishermen, to women, to Gentiles, to Samaritans, to Pharisees, to lepers, to the lame, to the blind. He talked to sinners, he talked to peasants, he talked to a king. He talked to Satan. He even talked to the dead. And it was by talking that he made things happen. He healed with words, "Take up your pallet and walk." He freed with words, "Your sins are forgiven you." He saved with words, "You who are without sin, you go ahead and throw the first stone." He conquered death with words, "Lazarus, come out." He taught with words, "A sower went out to sow." Jesus was a talker. He talked to the tempter in the desert. He talked to the crowds on a hillside. He talked to a storm standing in a boat, and he talked that storm down. He talked to Moses and Elijah high up on a mountain, and don't you want to know what they said to each other? Jesus talked to God from the cross, and then from the other side of the grave, he talked to Mary and Peter and Thomas. From beyond death, he talked them back to life. Jesus, the word that became flesh, came talking. The Bible is a talking book, a book of words, not just any words and not empty words, words that make things happen. Christian, do your words make things happen. The Tower of Babel is the story of the failure of speech, of confusion and cacophony, of chivalry and pandemonium. The witch trials were Babel. Nazi propaganda, Babel. Separate but equal, Babel. Don't ask, don't tell, Babel. Collateral damage, Babel. Babel is everywhere. The so-called newscasters yelling over one another, babblers. Babel is the shock jock and the angry, blithering blogs. Babel is ideology and propaganda, cant and misspeak. It is the sound of human hubris, of dissonance and danger. Babel is the sound of the serpent who seduces Adam and Eve with slippery, slimy words. The serpent is the one who promises that this one piece of fruit, or that pill, or that cosmetic, or that lotto ticket, that whatever, will make you wiser, younger, slimmer, richer, stronger, maybe make you live forever. Promise, swear to God, cross my heart. The story of Pentecost, today's story, the story of the birthday of the church, is the answer to the Tower of Babel and to human Babel. The triumph of Pentecost is the intelligibility of human speech, of words that work, efficacious speech, words that communicate, words that build and bridge. The story of Pentecost tells us that all the followers of Jesus were together in Jerusalem. And in an instant, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak. And at their speaking, all the crowds, they gathered. And this is Jerusalem, a worldly, cosmopolitan city visited by people from every nation. And that's the crowd, comprised of people from every nation under heaven. Afghanistan and South Korea, the Soviet Union and the United States, Haiti and Uganda, the English and the Wampanoag, the Peruvian and the Pakistani. And here's what captured their attention. Here's what was happening that day, every single one of them. The Kenyan and the Syrian, the Mexican and the North Korean, they all heard the followers of Jesus speaking in the native language of each. They were amazed, captivated, astonished by this feat of understanding. The one who spoke the world into being at the beginning of time, the one whose best word became flesh and lived among us, the same one gives birth to the Christian church in the act of speech, but not just any speech, efficacious speech, successful speech, speech that bridges and builds, speech that communicates, speech with wings and legs, speech that quite literally heals and saves. Christian, do your words have wings and legs? Do your words heal and save and forgive? Just as Samuel Sewall, an early member of this congregation, apologized for having condemned some of the so-called witches to death, he was the only justice to do so. His speech of repentance and confession was Pentecostal speech, churchly speech, godly speech. It turned the tide. Desmond Tutu's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, Pentecostal speech, godly talk. And this past Thursday, New York City's police commissioner publicly apologized on behalf of the New York Police Department for its officers' actions during the Stonewall Uprising in 1969, 50 years earlier. It was late, but better late than never. And here's what he said, I quote, "What happened should not have happened. The actions taken by the NYPD were wrong, plain, simple. The actions and the laws were discriminatory and oppressive, and for that I apologize," end quote. That is good speech, real words, efficacious, meaningful, words that matter. Christian, do your words matter? Do they name truth and, when necessary, apologize? We live in a babbling world. We live in a world filled with babbling, misspeak, cant, and propaganda. A cacophonous world populated with smooth-tongued and not-so-smooth-tongued tempters. We come to church. We gather in sanctuaries like this to listen hard to our sacred texts, to turn off the shock jocks, the ranters, the loud talking heads, to learn the difference between Babel and Pentecost, between trickery and truth, between hubris and humility, between the ways of God and the ways of the world. We come to church, we gather in the presence of God to declare our defiance of Babel and our commitment to churchly speech, godly speech, speech that edifies, builds, bridges, heals, and saves. We come to this place week after week to claim our place as those called and trained to efficacious speech, humble speech, speech that asks questions and probes for insight, speech that points beyond us to God, speech that does some good, speech that raises the dead and dreams of what might yet be. We come together to learn and practice that sort of speech here, that we might speak it out there, that what we say and how we say it might heal, rescue, defend, forgive, soothe, and befriend. And you, Christian, do your words do such things? Do your words heal, rescue, defend, forgive, soothe, and befriend? Will you pray with me? Gracious God, help us to speak well. Gracious God, make us to speak good words, words to bridge the divides, words to heal and save and rescue, words with wings and legs, words to mend a broken and breaking world, words to mend broken and breaking hearts, words worthy of the Christ in whose name we gather, words, dear God, that will make your heart glad. We ask these things in the name of your word made flesh, even Jesus Christ. Amen.